Welcome to the podcast version of Police Science Doctor, the online resource bridging the gap between research and investigative practice, for police personnel who go the extra mile, for academics who want to connect better with investigative practitioners, on YouTube and on policesciencedoctor.com.
Good evening again. This is Suzanne Knaber-Nicole from Police Science Doctor. What is Police Science Doctor? It's a website on which you will find videos that translate academic research findings that are relevant to the policing community into something that the policing community can actually consume. Most police officers and staff do not read academic journal articles. They don't have access. The journal articles are behind a paywall. And if they could access it, they don't have the time to browse through hundreds and hundreds of journal articles. And if they can actually find one that might be of interest, they're often written in a way that is not very enticing to the normal practitioner. So what I do is I take a topic, I take an article, I take something specific I want to talk about, I turn it into a video that is just a few minutes long, something between 4 minutes and, I don't know, 15 minutes. And also the other thing I do is I interview experts in their field. So if there's something interesting to say that I think could be of benefit to police practitioners, I interview them either live on here, maybe on a Thursday, or on a recorded interview, and I release that on the website policesciencedoctor.com, and that's doctor with just the DR, or the YouTube channel Police Science Doctor. Now, the other thing I'll be doing is I'm working with a number of subject matter experts to take their learning and turn it into an online course. So I'm creating the Police Science Doctor Academy, which is going to be an online platform for a host of variety of online courses for the police community. So where you can actually learn the good stuff. Now, so today, as usual, on a Tuesday evening, I'm here to talk about the police science snippets. So one of the things I do, because, again, as I've explained, many police practitioners do not actually get to read journal articles. If there's, I look through some articles and I try to extract the nugget of information that I think would be really good for the police practitioner to know about. That nugget is going to be something that is practical. So it's not going to be a theoretical musing about, you know, this methodology or that methodology or some statistical comparison of something. It is going to be something that you can use or think about straight away. So you can apply it to your own work, to your own experience, to your own investigations, anything you're dealing with. So this is something very actionable. I extract three such snippets every week and I send them to my email list. So I've got an email list. If you go to policesciencedoctor.com and just scroll down to the form where you can submit your details, you can sign up to the Police Science Doctor email list and you will get these every Tuesday into your inbox. You will also get the password that will give you access to the read page on the website, on which you have the transcript to all the videos on the Police Science Doctor video gallery, and you will have the PDF file of each snippet. Now, these snippets, they are emailed out and they're on that PDF for those who are subscribed to the email address with the link to the actual article that this comes from. Now, what is beyond my control is whether or not you can access that article. In most cases, you won't be able to access the article unless, again, you've got a subscription to that particular journal or to that particular publisher. But the abstract, that is the bit in a big paragraph in the beginning that tells you what the article is about and what the main findings are, you can read those at the very least. But I've already extracted the main piece of information, the main nugget that I wanted you to have from that article and put it into this snippet. So that's what I'm going to go through today. This is the 11th week in a row that I've been doing that. The other thing I want to tell you about is that this Thursday, I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Matt Blunt. Let me just show him here. And let me just get rid of these banners so you can see them better. So Dr. Matt Blunt from Cambridge University is going to be with me live on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. GMT. So that's if you're in the UK, for example. He's done some research on domestic abuse. And also he talks a lot about the algorithms that have been created to help police decide what they need to do about individual domestic abuse cases and what he thinks we should be doing with these algorithms. So that's a relatively new phenomenon in policing, that algorithms are being used more and more to determine where police should be placing the very limited resources. So we'll be talking about domestic abuse and algorithms that were created to tackle them on Thursday. So join me live where you're watching this here. There's going to be a link. You've already, again, people in my email list have the links already. So it's going to be on the YouTube channel. It's going to be on my Twitter account and on Facebook. But I hope you can join us live. You can maybe ask Matt some questions if you want and if we have time to cover them. But you will also be able to see the video afterwards if you can't join us live. So let me just put the banner back on. Right, so let's get to the science snippets, shall we? So this week, first one is about coercive control. Now, you may know that recently I interviewed Professor Jane Monckton Smith about domestic abuse, coercive control, and how it can lead to murder. And something I actually pulled out from one of her papers is that this is not all her research. So there's somebody else's reference in there, but go read the article. I've linked to that. And that one is actually open access. That's on her university website, the University of Gloucestershire. So domestic abuse is not necessarily a couple's problem arising out of a situation. So often it is seen as a problem with the dynamics of the couple, you know, something just escalated out of hand. And in some cases that will be so. But when it comes to coercive control, especially, what is being said here is, especially with coercive control, the problems and abuse lie within the perpetrator, who will continue the same behavioral patterns in all relationships. So Professor Jane Monckton Smith was talking about how the victim in an abusive relationship, especially with coercive control, when they try to leave the relationship, that triggers something in the offender that can actually change their thinking process. And sometimes that will escalate to them actually planning a murder. So often she was talking a lot about how many people in the profession like to think that domestic abuse and homicide are quite chaotic and unpredictable, but she's looked at 400 cases and she has identified a pattern and even an 8-stage process. So she was talking about that. Go to the Police Science Doctor YouTube channel if you want to see that interview. It was really interesting to listen to her. So this statement is basically saying it's not a situational thing. There's something within the abuser, some kind of neediness, some kind of need to control, some kind of massive insecurity perhaps, or whatever it may be, that they're going to replicate in each relationship they go to. So it is predictable in, and especially so if you actually think about the previous history of the abuser. And often victims who are in a relationship with someone who has said there was abuse before, they didn't quite want to believe it. So the offender told them, their new partner told them, oh, you know, my ex was, she's quite crazy, or he's quite crazy, was pushing all my buttons, was doing it all the time. And it is easily dismissed when you're in a new relationship. Maybe you're in love and you're, many people like to be quite disparaging about their previous relationships. Well, we shouldn't really be, you know, hopefully we're choosing good people making good decisions about that. There should not be many reasons to slate that person. They haven't become a bad person, but sometimes in relationships, unfortunately, things can turn into such a way that in the beginning you give the best of yourself to that person and somehow it develops and you just give the worst of yourself to that person. So yes, many relationships do turn sour and, you know, many people do feel very badly about their exes, but that's unfortunately that is a shame. And you need to be careful when somebody says that all the exes were crazy and, you know, were this and were that, because why did you go out with them in the first place if they really were that bad? So, you know, the common denominator, the one thing that all these relationships and the exes had in common was that one person that you're talking to now. So, you know, be aware of that and be a little bit careful. The second police science snippet for this week is about geographic profiling. The statement here that I extracted is stranger rapes tend to occur closer to an offender's home than other types of crime, for example, acquisitive or property crimes. Now, this is interesting because, again, lots of people think that these kind of things are random, but patterns have been found that when it comes to violent crime, and we're talking about stranger rapes here, obviously the majority of rapes happens in relationships, but we're talking about stranger rapes here that occur outdoors, or the attack, the initial encounter occurs outdoors at least. Those locations where somebody is attacked tend to be closer to the offender's home than other types of crime they may commit. So be it, you know, like vehicle crime, theft, damage, burglary, they tend to go out further to commit those kinds of crime, but rapes tend to be a bit closer, and other violent crimes as well, but violent crime is not mentioned in this particular snippet. So again, you've got the link here to the article in which that was found. And number three, the science snippet number three for this week is the magnitude of the impact on resources of domestic abuse. So this is actually pulled from Dr. Matt Blunt's chapter. Matt Blunt, who's going to be with us on Thursday, he wrote a chapter in a book, and I've linked to it. It was a very massive link, so I turned it into a smaller link. If you've had it emailed to you already, or if you're downloading the PDF of this snippet, you will find the actual link to the book if you want to read the whole thing. So the snippet is: domestic abuse cases make up 20% of all homicides of people over 16 in England and Wales. 40% of rape of females aged over 16, and 35% of all violent-related offences. Now, domestic abuse has been around as long as relationships between humans have been around, but is a lot more recent that it was actually recognised as something that should be illegal. You know, it was quite comfortable for the authorities to believe that, well, it's something that goes on behind closed doors. It's something that happens within the family. It's private. It's personal. We shouldn't get involved, you know, but that's what they used to think about. Child sexual abuse and child neglect perhaps as well. And it's not right, of course, because somebody is causing somebody harm, and that is illegal. That is against the law. The person at the receiving end of this has a right to be protected from that. So domestic abuse has become a major issue in many, many police forces. I know definitely in the UK, and I'm sure around the, well, maybe not around the world, but in many other countries, I can think of places where I'm sure it is not a priority for police, even though it should be, because obviously the extent of it is massive. Nobody knows the true extent of it because most things don't get reported. Now, the numbers that are extracted here are obviously only based on things that we do know about. So with any statistics on domestic abuse, you know, you can safely assume that they're probably quite a lot higher. The same with sexual offences. So 20% of all homicides of people over 16 in England and Wales are attributed to domestic abuse. So current or previous partners are the killers. 40% of rape of females aged over 16 are within relationships or ex-relationships. And 35% of all violence-related offences. Now, that's quite a lot. So definitely very right that they should be at the top of the police priority list. Are we dealing with them properly yet? That's a completely different matter. Obviously, we've spoken to Professor Jane Monckton-Smith last week. She doesn't feel we're doing it well enough yet, and that is probably true. Hopefully, we will get there. So the link to the book, if you want to read more about that, is in that. And the link to the articles is with the other snippets as well. So just once more to remind you about the interview on Thursday, 8:30 p.m. if you're in the UK. It's 3:30 in the afternoon if you're in the New York area, 7:30 on Friday morning if you're Australian Eastern Daily Time. So I hope to see you there. I hope you found these snippets useful. And if you do find these of interest, then the best thing would be just to join the Police Science Doctor email list. It is free. I'm not sending you spam. I'm sending you this every week. And if there's another announcement, like, for example, I've uploaded a new video, I will send you that as well. But if you're not happy with what I send you, you can unsubscribe at any time. But I'd be very happy to welcome you to my growing email list. And you will get perks like this and, you know, backstage access to transcripts on the website as well. So policesciencedoctor.com. And just leave your details in the form there. And I will see you on Thursday at the live interview with Dr. Matt Blunt. Bye-bye. Cheerio.
Thank you for listening. I hope you found this content useful. You can get access to each episode's transcript with key learning points, timestamps, and references if you get yourself onto my mailing list. Just go to the main website on policesciencedoctor.com, and on the bottom of each page you will find a sign-up form for notifications of new content. Just enter your first name, your preferred email address, and the type of organization you work for. You will not get any spam. This is just for me to let you know about new content and for you to get access to all the transcripts.
Thank you.